Right, awesome. I'm going to start by telling you a story. Story starts last year, at the end of last year. We were packing up our house to move up here to North Mead and Winston Hills. And as with every rental that you're packing up from, we had to clean it to get our bond back. The biggest thing we had to clean was the pool. And so one day when Molly went off to work, Lola and I went down to clean the pool. Me and this 20-month-old came to help me, and you know, you guys should know, almost 2-year-old, they love to help, and they always know the best way to do it. But as we were cleaning it, I was trying not to get angry at Lola for pushing the broom the wrong way, and she was trying not to get angry at me for pushing it the wrong way. But in the end, no one lost their cool, and the pool was perfect and sparkling clean. So I told Lola we were done, it was ready to go. To which she asked, okay, let's go swimming. So I had to, I got down to her level, as they teach you in parent school, and I told her, we're not going swimming today. I gave her reasons and said, we're not going swimming today. Well, she didn't like the answer, so she turned to the pool, she counted to three, and she jumped. Now, my speedy dad skills kicked in, and I ripped her out of the water before it got up to her arms. And she burst into tears, and I thought it was because she'd realized what she'd done. She got herself into a situation that she would get hurt or worse, but no. She cried because she was angry because I pulled her out of the pool. She was angry at me all day, and she wouldn't speak to me, and everyone she saw, she told them how mean I was for not letting her go swimming. But I love that story because it teaches us a few things about having to be saved. Or having to save someone. Our first is that we don't start off wanting to be saved. We don't go into something thinking at the end, I'm going to need someone to pull me out of this. Second, there's always going to be a point of no return, a point where you get somewhere that you know that you can't get yourself out of. You won't be saved unless someone else comes in and saves you. And finally, it shows you that you need to have love and compassion and care in order to save or be saved. Because as we were walking off, I noticed a lizard fall into the pool. We often had lizards in the pool. And I knew that if we didn't get that lizard out, it would die. But I walked away anyway, because I didn't love that lizard. Now, in our passage that was read out for us, we met a man called Saul, who, despite all of his good intentions, got himself into a situation that he's not going to be able to get himself out of. Saul had gone so far the wrong way that not only could he not get himself out of it seemed that no one would be able to get him out of it. No one would be able to save Saul from this situation. But we're going to see today that God, through Jesus, is able to save the unsavable. You see, Paul didn't initially want to get himself into the situation because he thought he was doing the right thing. You see, Jewish religion says that God is going to send his chosen one to come and save his people. And this Jesus fellow that came and everyone's talking about didn't seem to do any of that. He came, he caused a bit of ruckus, and he died. And so law states that whoever lies and says the wrong thing about God must be stoned to death. You see, while Lola's biggest problem was that she didn't realize that she couldn't swim without floaties. Saul's biggest problem is he doesn't understand who's in charge. He doesn't know who the boss is. Saul thought it was the high priests. And if you have a look at your first two verses, you can see it there. And while, yes, the high priests were in charge to a certain degree, we all know that this is God's world, and so God is in control. Kids, I don't know if this happened to you. It's happened to me. You go to your grandparents' house, so you ask for ice cream for breakfast, to which your parents obviously say, no. But don't worry, kids, because it's grandma's house. Grandma's rules, so you ask grandma. That's what my kids do anyway. Grandma's house, grandma's rules, ice cream for breakfast. You see, because it's her house, it's her rules. And this world is God's world, and so God is in charge. And ultimately, we always need to be listening to God. The first step and the unsavable needing to be, having been saved, is knowing who the boss is, knowing that God is in control. And that is what Saul finds out when Jesus appears to him on the road. Take a look at verses 5 and 6. Saul says, "Who are you?" And Jesus replies, "I am the one you're persecuting." And that point would have been the point that Saul realized that he was in strife. He was in a bit of trouble now. Here, standing in front of him was Jesus, alive and well, which means everything that his disciples, Jesus' disciples, had been saying about him was true. Jesus is the one that God sent to save his people, which means it wasn't the disciples who were lying and saying the wrong things about God, but it was Saul. Saul didn't see that Jesus was the boss, and he was the one that was lying, and so the one that deserved to get stones. And there was nothing that Saul could do to save himself. In fact, it seemed that there was nothing that anyone could do to save Saul. And Saul now understands that he is unsavable. But like I already said, God, through Jesus, can save the unsavable. And the first part of that is knowing who is the boss. Second, God is able to do this because he is in control. God is in complete control. Jesus sends Saul to the city, to Damascus, that he was originally going to, and he tells him that he's going to meet a man there. And so Saul and his followers head off to the city. Meanwhile, Ananias in the town gets a vision from the Lord, and he was told to meet Saul because Saul is going to go and take the message of Jesus and his resurrection to the whole world. Ananias now was a little nervous because he knew who Saul was. He heard about him. He knows that what he'd done and why he was originally on the way to this city. And so Ananias asks, "Do you mean Saul, the one that's going around killing people, the one that's been put in charge of arresting people like me?" And God says, "Oh, so you know him. Good. That's the one." Ananias, he was scared, he was worried, he was probably stressed out that he wasn't the right person for the job. But we see time and time again in the Bible that God doesn't need the strong or the brave or the courageous, because God is in control. God doesn't need the strong and the mighty, like the rulers of the world need the strong and the mighty. Because God is in control, nothing happens unless God allows it. That's why God uses people who are scared and nervous. It's to show how good and strong God is. So next time you have the opportunity to share Jesus and what he's done on the cross to somebody, just think about what's happened here between Saul and Ananias. See, Ananias walks into this room where Saul is, and what does he say? "Brother Saul." Everything is telling Ananias to stay away from Saul. He's the one that got Stephen killed. He's the one that's been put in charge of going, collecting all the Christians and arresting them. But Ananias knows that God is the true boss. And God had told Ananias that Saul was no longer a threat. He's no longer going to hurt the Christians, but he's going to be the one that spreads the word about Jesus throughout the whole world. See, God is the boss and God is in control. So if God says that Saul is no longer a threat but a brother in Christ, then he is. And here is the coolest thing that happens. Saul is filled with the Holy Spirit, and something like scales fall from his eyes, and he can now see again. Now his eyes are physically open, but this is just a sign that of something that happens inwardly and happens to all of us. As we receive the Holy Spirit, Our eyes are opened and we can fully understand what Jesus has done on the cross and when he came back to life. That's what happens to all of us when we receive the Holy Spirit. Our eyes are opened, just like Saul's are opened here today. And like Saul receiving the Holy Spirit and having his eyes opened, it's all because God is in complete control. We too are saved because God is in complete control. So God, through Jesus, is able to save the unsavable because he's the boss and because he's in complete control. Now, there's one final thing that leaves us, that shows us that God, through Jesus, is able to save the unsavable. And that is God is loving. have a look there at verse 20 and compare it to verse 1. Verse 1 says, Saul is breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. But now in verse 20, it says he's proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. This is a complete turnaround, a totally different message. And then have a look again at verse 22. Saul was proving to the Jews in Damascus that Jesus is the Messiah. This is a big, fantastic, awesome thing for Saul, and it is for us too. And it's all because of who the Messiah is and what he's done. As we learned through last term in 1 Kings, Israel at one point was this great, prosperous nation, living in God's lands. But through their unfaithfulness, it was all taken away from them. Israel now spent about 700 years or so looking for this Messiah sent by God to save them from slavery, to give them back their promised land, and to bring them into right relationship with God. And they were looking for a mighty king who would come, who would lead them into battle, who would defeat their enemies and return them to what we read about in 1 Kings chapter 8. The problem is that they had too small of a picture of what the Messiah would come and do, and freeing them, and giving them back a land, and putting them in relationship with God. See, Jesus, the Messiah, did free Israel. In fact, he freed all who believe in him. He freed them from slavery. Not slavery of the world, but slavery from sin. We all sin. We all deserve to be punished for it. The punishment, I'm sure we're all aware, is death. But Jesus, the perfect sinless man, died and went to hell. He took our punishment for us. He paid the price for our sin. He fought Jesus and he won, freeing all who believe from death and giving them eternal life. Having our punishment paid for and being freed from death means that we too are now perfect. We are able to enter the true promised land, which is heaven, and we're able to have the perfect relationship with God. And the best part about all of this is that we don't deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. Saul worked that out on the road to Damascus. And it's something that you need to work out as well. Because living without Jesus as your Lord and Savior is like my daughter jumping into the pool without her floaties on. You're destined for death and disaster. As far as the world is concerned, there is nothing that can save you. But God, through Jesus, is able to save the unsavable. And he can do this because God is boss. He's the one that says that we're able to be saved. And because God is in complete control, he's the one that says how we can be saved. And because God is loving, he's the one that reaches down into the water and pulls us out. So turn to God, receive the Holy Spirit, receive forgiveness, because you, like Saul, may think that you are unsavable, but God, through Jesus, is able to save the unsavable. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the boss. We thank you that you're in control. And we thank you that you love us so much. We thank you that you sent Jesus into this world to die for us, to take our punishment, to take our sin, so that we can enter heaven with you. Help us to turn to you. Help us to receive this forgiveness. And Lord, we ask that we take this message out to the world so that others too can also be saved and come back into relationship with you, spending eternity in glory. Amen.